The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome.
Normally, if this is your first time listening, what a strange episode to choose. We are currently on a little break between seasons, but if you've never listened before, go back to our pilot. We go through all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy through season 18 and then even some reactions of season 19. We will start season 19 sometime soon.
Yeah, we're thinking probably by the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. Usually, Grey's would be starting up again soon, but
I don't know if we'll ever get it again.
I don't know. And you know what? That might be okay with the both of the strikes going on. Yeah. And
but we will return.
We'll return.
Should we be striking?
Honestly, I was just about to say that. Maybe we should be striking. No, we're not a part of the unions.
We're not even getting paid.
No. So, but very supportive of all the actors and writers. And I hope they get everything they deserve because they deserve the world.
They
for
sure do.
Giving me happiness and joy as I sit on my couch.
Oh, so much joy. We have a lot of media, entertainment to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
But just first of all, if you love supporting small creators like ourselves, you can do so by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be a resident or an intern, resident, or an attending to $5, $10. You get bonus episodes. You get access to our monthly Zoom hangouts. We're doing one tonight. If you're listening to this, it's happened.
Sorry. Catch the next one.
Exactly. They're very fun. We have a really fun group of people that show up, and like, it's not weird at all. It's not awkward. It's just a blast.
It's great. And some people even come on and they don't put their cameras on, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. We will talk.
Yeah. Abby likes to say, we won't call you out, but we probably will because
I like to say, hi, is this your first time? Where are you from? And that's really all I ask.
Yeah. And then you don't have to say anything else if you don't
want
to.
Or you could just literally say,
or you could type it in the chat.
You could just say, no.
No, this is not. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
It's really great. And I feel like some people have become friends from it. Mm-hmm. So to everyone who does support us, thank you. We would not be doing this without you. So,
We also put out some bonus episodes. We did a fun, just last month, if you haven't listened, we did a fun, like we rewatched the pilot.
Yes.
And we had commentary over it.
Right. So that's fun. So yeah, you can always become like a $5 and go back and listen to all those bonus episodes. And
we should have called our bonus content DVD extras. Because we love DVD extras.
That's so good. Maybe we could change. We're always changing the podcast. So
always changing things.
Yeah. So today, okay, so last week we rewatched the bomb episode.
Yes.
So if you haven't watched or listened to that, go back and listen. It was a fun one. But today we're just going to kind of what we've been calling palate cleanse.
Yeah, we couldn't agree on anything to watch.
Yeah, and we might, so maybe we'll put up, last time we put something up in Patreon and asked you guys what you wanted us to watch and discuss again for a rewatch. So maybe we'll do that again this week so we can get feedback, because we had like three episodes in our head and then we were like,
and then
I was like, I watched a documentary, and then I made Abby watch it.
Yeah. So Brie texted me last night and told me that I had to watch this documentary.
It's called The Deepest Breath. It's on Netflix.
It's A24, which I was surprised by.
It's what?
A24, you know, the like production company that.
What do they do?
A lot of things.
Okay.
Like, they're like I don't know the correct media terms. Like, I wanted to say like indie films, but that's not.
Oh, they're behind Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems, Midsummer, Lady Bird, Moonlight. Okay.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Cool, cool, cool.
A lot of things that they have their stamp on is usually amazing.
They're an entertainment company. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, so yes, indie.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh boy, it's going to be good. At first when it started, I was like, oh, subtitles, because I was multitasking.
Yeah.
But then I put my multitask away.
Good. I'm proud of you.
And to make a joke, I dived in. I dove in.
you dove right in.
Okay.
So
talk about how did you choose it?
Okay. So it was really odd. And I don't know if this was. Okay. Let me start here. The documentary is about free diving, which is the most insane sport ever.
We're not going to spoil it. No. Also, we're going to talk a lot about it. So highly recommend go watch it.
Yes. Because I think don't read about it either, because and don't read about anything going on in it while watching it. Just watch it. And I think you will be pleased about that.
Yes.
Because I was almost going to like Google some stuff and then I just stuck to watching it and I was very pleased. So we're not going to spoil anything. But what I will say is I was like the other day I was on TikTok and this TikTok showed up of this person in the ocean and like about to dive into like a cave thing. And I immediately scrolled up. I was like, I cannot handle that. That mm-hmm. is like my worst nightmare. I don't know what the fuck that was. Why were they in the ocean? And then like a day later, I was just scrolling on Netflix and I think it was like Things You May Enjoy uh-huh. or something.
Your algorithm knows you.
Yeah. And then I said The Deepest Breath and I clicked on it. And then it was like about free diving. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this was what that TikTok was about. And I clicked on it kind of nervous because Abby and I will talk about like, I kind of like horror watched it. Like I
Same. Absolutely horror watched it.
Yeah. And so I clicked on it and then I don't know, something about the way it started, it like pulled me right in. I will say, and they give spoilers in the beginning, there are some like kind of disturbing images.
You mean when people black out and they are essentially dead people?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That, but.
Because that was shocking.
Yeah. And John was kind of in the, or I think he was over in the kitchen and I called out to him to come watch this with me. And he was like, what is this about? And I said, pretty sure it's about free diving. Have you ever heard of this sport? And he said, I have, and I will not be watching. Like, got up. He could not watch it. Like, had no interest. And I think it unlocked. Remember years ago when we were talking about our deepest fears mm-hmm. and like sharks were one of mine?
Yeah.
I think free diving is my deepest fear ever.
Yeah.
I think it is the biggest fear I have of something that I will never do.
If you don't know what free diving is, it's basically this extreme sport. There are competitions, there are world champions, there are world records. And these people are in like a full wetsuit. They do not have an oxygen tank mm-hmm. on them. They have like a monofin attached mm-hmm. to their feet. And there's a long rope down to a certain depth. And these people...
And they're carabinered to the rope.
Yes, they're carabinered to the rope. And these people dive straight down, which as if you've ever been scuba diving, you know that like going down, there's a lot of pressure. Right. And so like they describe the first 30 feet as like you're swimming down. And once you hit... Or 30 meters. Once you hit 30 meters, the pressure takes over and pushes you. They say it feels like you're fucking free falling.
Right. Which is insane. Yeah. In the water.
Towards the core of the earth.
Yeah.
And then they have to, they like choose what depth they're trying to do before they do the dive. And at that depth, there is like a card that they grab off of this thing.
Like a tag.
Yep. And then they have to actively swim up, which is much harder than the down because they're working against the pressure.
Right.
Let's keep in mind these people are holding their breath.
Right.
And some of these dives are like 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even hold my breath at a standstill for 3 minutes.
Oh, no. I can't hold my breath for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
When there is like, I think they talked about, I don't know, something in the where they said like in the movie, like, let's hold our breath for 30 seconds or something.
Oh, yeah. And for a
moment in there.
I was like, I couldn't even do that.
I know. And I was like, how are all these people doing this? I was like, oh, they're all fucking free divers. Yeah. Like, of course they can. But
they also do competitions in pools. But the most extreme is...
In the ocean. Yeah, or seas or whatever. And so what ends up happening is that, these people then come up And you have to, there's safety divers, which I find this very interesting too. The safety divers are also kind of free diving.
Yeah, they have to hold their breath too.
They have to hold their breath too because they can't have, like with scuba diving, you can't have oxygen to like come up really fast.
Yeah, so I had to Google that because a lot of you may think, why don't the safety divers just wear oxygen tanks or vice versa? It's because when you have oxygen on, you have to slowly rise to the surface or else you will like explode. Like,
So it makes sense. So a lot of these safety divers have free dived themselves, right? And they're at different levels. And then the whole thing, in order for you to like win your meters that you get, is you have to make it to the top without help of the safety divers, have that tag from the bottom, and then hold yourself up for a certain amount of time for the judges to then
call
it. And
it appears to say, I'm okay. But I
A lot of people say, I'm okay. But you have to hold until they say, like, give you, like, a yellow.
A white card.
A red card means it doesn't work. So
if you are assisted in any way, you get a red card.
And so what often happens in these things
is bonkers.
Is people have what they call blackouts.
Right. Like they chose a depth that they are not quite able to do yet. And what's crazy is it usually happens in the last 10 meters.
Yes.
Like think how close that is.
Yes.
Where the oxygen runs out.
Yes.
And they... your brain takes over and just turns off.
It like turns your body off.
Right. And
because you're fucked.
Yes. And so the safety has to quick close your mouth so that you don't inhale any water, bring you back up. And then usually you can come back to life.
Yeah. And the safety divers like breathe some air into you. They do like
very unofficial CPR.
Weird CPR. And then you end up on a boat with oxygen. And then the crazy thing is these people dive again like that same day.
Yes.
Or later that day or the next day.
And these people look dead when they come up.
Oh, it's very hard.
Because their eyes are wide open.
Yeah. And
they're just comatose.
And it is, I think, the craziest sport.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was watching it, I was like, how do you decide that's what you want to do?
Right. Like as this person they talks about this as what, when she was a little, she's always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about it. Thank God.
No. And I feel like you have to be like very called to these very specific things.
Yeah.
And have a certain type of, like, I just couldn't do that.
There's
like,
some sort of adrenaline chasing.
Yeah. Like, I don't care how much training I had. Like, I physically think my body wouldn't be, I don't have a body like that.
Well, and they do it because they feel calm often, like on the way down.
The craziest fucking thing to me is it's like a lot of these people talk about, like, it's actually like a lot of them engage in a ton of meditation because it's like you have to actually stay super relaxed while in this descent and going up, because if you start panicking, you think about it, you're like,
done-so.
You're done. And how do you stay relaxed when you are literally going into a pit of darkness?
You can't see anything.
No, nothing.
I was amazed by all the footage. So also what's really cool about this documentary is they have a ton of footage of the people at the bottom of these dives. So they must have, there's like a camera down at the bottom. So like, it's not like you just are at the surface and you're like, wow, I guess they went down. You watch them go down.
I did wonder how they got that footage. We should look into that.
I'm guessing they're... Or
do you think people scuba?
That's what I was thinking. Like towards the end, like there's that videographer person. I think that's what happens is there are people down there in scuba gear just filming.
Which is also really, and so.
I would do that. If you needed me to scuba where I have oxygen.
I don't think I could even do that. Open water really scares the shit out of me.
I've only scuba dived twice and I only think I went the deepest was 40 feet, which I don't even know how many.
Oh, like, my God.
That's
I don't even think I could go 40. I don't think I could
do that. The surface is like, it took me less than 7 seconds to get to the surface.
I don't think I could do it.
Oh, it's really magical.
I don't think I could scuba.
That's
like,
okay.
That's just not something I feel. I like to be in a pool.
Yeah.
I feel confident in, like, Michigan, even though, like, that can be really scary because of riptides. Ocean, there's too much in there that can kill you.
There was not one bit of wildlife in that documentary.
There were a couple like moments of like fish and a dolphin, but I wondered too, like, where are the sharks?
Yeah, maybe they just choose places that
like don't have a lot of.
Yeah. It was
And a lot of people die from this sport.
Oh, yeah. Tons of people.
They also have this thing called the lung squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
Where like people die, yes, from like blacking out and shit or drowning, but also people die from like
chronic lung damage
of their lungs, like being crushed by like pressure.
What I really thought was interesting was like the safety medical team who like will literally tell a competitor, you are not capable of what you're trying to do. We will not let you do this.
Yeah.
And they get so mad.
Imagine having that job. They would be like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, all we're trying to do is make sure you get home.
And also having that job, being like, I'm a respiratory like therapist and I'm going to go work with free divers. Like, it's just wild.
I just never heard of it. And there were so many people involved in this sport.
Yeah. I feel like it's not like televised or anything.
Right. Or it's like, probably on like the Red Bull, you know, like, I feel like it's like those types of sporting events.
Cause like
people who like walk on tight ropes.
Like this is not part of like the Olympics.
No.
I think it's because Thank it's God. Too dangerous.
Yeah. I feel like it is just truly, it was such an interesting documentary. Very pulls at your heartstrings. You become very attached.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know. This is, I think, without a spoiler, it really follows two people for a lot of it. And you're feeling a little ominous in the beginning and you don't know, neither of these people are being interviewed throughout the entire documentary.
Yeah.
So you're just like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And then.
And you have no idea until like the very last bit.
Yeah. And it's very eerie. Very, very eerie.
I felt so bad for like the parent watching their child free dive. I was like, Jake, what if we have a kid and it decides it wants to just free dive?
Well, that's what I was.
Jake was like, we will support it. I was like, no, we won't. Wrong answer.
That's what I was thinking about too. I remember one time I had this therapist and I don't know exactly what I was talking about, but I was, I think, probably annoyed with one of my parents and like anxiety. And she talked about how her son did mountain bike on cliffs or something, and was like, and or maybe it was rock climbing or something, I don't know. And she was like, and I just kind of had to like accept that that is what my child wanted to do. Like, they were an adult at that point, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they were, you know, living at home. They were like in their 20s. And she's like, I just have to sit at home and hope that they'll be okay. But yeah, I have a lot of anxiety about it, but I can't tell my kid not to do it. And I'm like, that literally sounds, what if we have children? Both of our children are like, hey, let's go free dive together.
It's kind of like the people who do the free climbing. Like,
I can't. I can't walk. Like, because then I start going down this like rabbit hole of like putting myself in that position. And then I start to feel a little panicky.
Yeah. I mean, there were times I was clutching Jake's, like, it was actually.
Oh, he watched it with you.
Yeah. Which he was fascinated because he was a swimmer. So he actually can hold his breath for a very long time. Probably not right now, but he used to be able to. And I was trying to be like, I was like, okay, so like when you would swim, because he would do like a 50 meter race. And if I remember correctly, that's maybe too long. Like, he said he could do 50 meters without breathing. But that was swimming freestyle, where these people are fully submerged.
Right.
And like, he pushes off a wall. You know what I mean? Like, they don't ever come up. And the other thing he was saying, so that's 50 meters total. They're doing, like, when it says 90 meters, that's 90 meters one way.
Right.
So it's like 180 meters. So, because I was like, you can hold your breath for a while. And so he's like, oh, that, I couldn't even get close to that. But he was very fascinated. He said he was less afraid of it than like he wants to scuba. He wants to do all of that.
Yeah. But I mean,
he's comfortable in the water.
In the water. And I like, the thing is, I feel like I'm a very strong swimmer. Like, I'm not afraid to be in a lake.
No.
It's like oceans that really scare me. And I think it's because at that time I got dragged under.
Yeah, probably. That would be what would do that.
And there's just so many things. I just have, you know, and such that irrational fear about sharks.
I do think, though, that because I was like, what would be like? And I think for me, the worst thing would be I would rather black out while being underwater, because actually it looks pretty chill.
Supposedly they just people stop say moving. Drowning. Yeah, people say drowning. I don't understand this, how people can say this. Or maybe they come back from it, but like, drowning supposedly is one of the nicest ways to go.
Jake said that, like, that they were saying, your brain shuts off before you inhale the water.
So
he said, I was like, what if I went underwater and I inhaled? He's like, go try. He's like, your body like will not let you do that. I was like, I bet I could put my face underwater and just inhale. And he's like, it won't. Don't worry, guys. I wasn't trying to do this. I just was thinking, like, couldn't you make yourself? But he said, in the case of drowning, like, you're holding your breath, your brain will shut off before you'll actually inhale water, which is a great mechanism. Thank you, brain.
Similar to like burning a lot or not, not.
I don't know.
I meant not similar, right? Because yeah. I don't think your brain turns off.
Who knows? No one's lived to tell the tale.
No one's come back from that one.
But what I was saying is I think my worst way, I would rather do the deep diving thing and somewhere on the way up, that happens versus my fear is like, if I am trying to get in a cave and I'm stuck in a small space and I just can't move and I just have to stay there for until I die.
Okay, so you want to be in free open water. Or you mean in a cave.
Like a dry cave. I'm trying to escape out of a cave and I go through a small tunnel and I get stuck. That to me is 1,000 times scarier than coming up from free diving and then.
Yeah. Have you, I get what you're saying now because we were kind of texting
about
that last
night. Because then you're just conscious and trapped.
Well, like that one movie with that guy with the arm.
Oh, yeah. But at least he wasn't like, he was at least from what the movie, the 127 hours. I feel like he wasn't, I'm talking about like when people are like underground like cave spelunking. Yes.
So I was like really into this show. They only had a couple episodes, but it was like Extreme Survival or something. And like, it was these stories of people who shouldn't have survived. And then these people came and rescued people and did. And these people were spelunking. But what happened was like the tide changed
and water started coming in
and they were stuck.
Nope.
So they were about to drown in a splunk.
Nope. Absolutely not.
And so when you said like that, I thought you were
underwater.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just above ground.
You're just underground.
To die. You're sweaty.
So, I mean, what you're really talking about is dehydration and starvation.
Yeah, but for me, it's the claustrophobia.
And see, when you said cave, I was thinking you were in like a massive cave.
No. It's the tight space.
A cave similar to what Molly-Ann goes in.
Yes, maybe any tight space.
So you're claustrophobic.
Yeah, because like I think of, which I remember at a haunted house once years ago, to get out of the haunted house, I still can't believe this existed. It was like two tarps or like plastic that they were pumping air through. And so you had to squeeze through it. But it like, you know, like... the bag like floated around.
Isn't that how you suffocate?
Right, exactly. And I was like, I'm in a tight space and I'm going to die. Huh. And I hate it. I cried.
How old were you?
I should have taken a
knife. You're like 23.
I was probably like 18.
Oh.
It was scary. So tight spaces for me. I don't like haunted houses.
No,
and no one
likes
to go with me because the only way I survive it is by going, someone's right there. Someone's going to be like, I ruin it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to be scared.
Yeah.
Once Jake literally fell to the ground in front of me at haunted house, and I was like, "You are useless."
You know that's like exactly what he would do. Right. I feel like if someone like came into the house, yeah. He'd just submit and fall down. Just where like John is the opposite, where he leaps out of bed at the slightest sound with a baseball bat, and I'm always like, "What are you gonna do?" Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Start swinging.
I take one swing and
swing away.
The perpetrator takes that bat from me. That's what happens. I take one swing and they take it back.
Yeah.
They're just no.
No. No, Abby. No.
But yeah, so that was a fun watch.
Yeah. So everyone watch The Deepest Breath on Netflix.
I love documentaries like that. So if you also have more recommendations like that.
I thought it was really well done. It only got like 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, bullshit. This is 100% documentary.
I went Instagram stalking afterwards.
Yeah, you sent me some stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I'm really happy that you watched it because John wouldn't. And I was like, I have to talk to someone about this documentary. So.
And I just want to say a little bit, you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen the Barbie movie yet. But I went and saw it with Jake a few nights ago or 2 days. I can't remember when it was. The day after it came out. So Friday afternoon. And it was so special. I went into it like I did not know the plot.
Yeah, I know not much.
You're right.
About
I knew the marketing was like insane. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's been like this big deal. And I feel like the marketing has made it seem very light and like,
yeah.
And I was going into it like would have been fine if it had just been this like fun movie. And it was, but it was so much more. I know I'm not alone in this. My whole TikTok algorithm also is this. It was campy. It was funny. It was wacky. Like humor in it where you're just like, this doesn't make sense. But like, it's just goofy. It had musical numbers. It made me weep 3 times where like I had my knees pulled up to my chest and Jake looked over at me and I was like, don't like look away. Like I just like It was like Marley and me audible crying from my part. And I could hear other people doing the same. It was this like beautiful, I felt like it was like a love story to being a woman in today's world and girlhood. And like, I highly recommend, if you're on the fence about it, I really recommend going. I know there are some people that just didn't like it. I don't know. It did something to me fundamentally. Like, and like, I did play with Barbies as a kid. It was kind of like, I don't know if you feel this way about Barbies, but it was like, I couldn't tell you which ones I had, which ones my friends had. They all blur because it's like, you would just play with the ones at your friend's house. And like, you kind of don't know how you would get a Barbie. It would just be at your house. Like, it just brought back so much about being a kid and playing with these things. And it like pulled things out of the recesses of my mind that I like, forgot that I remembered about Barbie. Cause you kind of just stopped playing with Barbie. And I didn't, I was like, oh, it wasn't that impactful to me, but it like actually was. And it was just, America Ferrera has a monologue in it that I've listened to since like five times. It's on TikTok. Don't watch it unless you go see the movie first. But like, it is so powerful. And she sums up in like the perfect way how being a woman is like, you can never do it right. There's no right way to be a woman. It's like, be skinny, but not too skinny. And you don't want to say you're being skinny. You want to say you want to be healthy. And it's like, work hard, but not too much. Don't be a bitch. If you, you know, ask for things you want. Like, she just names all these thousands of things. And like, all of the adult women in the theater, I feel like, were just crying. Like, it was just like, I felt very seen. It was just really good. I really want you to see it so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
It's my new Top Gun.
I need to go. I might go this week. John was all sad. He was like, I was like, I'll go by myself. And he was like,
Jake loved it.
He was like, we'll take someone. Well, he's gone.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, you don't have to wait for me. Like, he's gone. He's going to be gone for work. So he's got like, you can go see it this week if you want. And I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll go to a solo movie. And he was like, we'll take someone with you. And I was like, I like solo movies.
It also
movies.
Could be good to go. I would have sobbed harder if I'd been like alone, I think.
Well, and I love solo movies. I went and saw Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, expecting for a good cry. Didn't cry in that one. Yeah. Did you ever see that one?
Not yet. I need to. It's about to be available to rent.
Oh, good.
I
miss You'll have it in to theaters, do that.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I really do need to see it. I'm excited for it. And I appreciate you not spoiling anything from it. Because I do feel like they left like a lot out of, like, there was a lot of promotion, but no one really knew what the fuck it was.
Yeah. And I really was blown away.
I know, like, Barbie goes to be like a woman, like a real, right?
Yeah, there's Barbie Land and there's the real world.
Yeah, that's all I know and that's all I care to know.
And so, I'll just say too, like, something I really don't think this is spoiling anything. It kind of made me forget, you know, like, we grew up in a world, like, I think about an elementary school classroom, okay? All of the pictures on the wall are male presidents. The money in our pocket has photos of men on it. There's just like all of these things that like are just normal to us. Like, that's just the world we grew up in. And like in Barbie Land, things are reversed. It's not that it's not anti-men. It's just literally the world we're in, but reversed. And I like cried at how different that felt, you know? And like, it just, oh, it was so good. It was so funny. Jake loved it. So like, bring your straight husband if he's willing to go. Jake like giggled at stuff and like, it was just really funny. Also, I really feel like Ryan Gosling, I love Ryan Gosling. I love him in interviews. I find him to be very like funny and sincere. And he really like went for it. Like, I almost like embarrassingly, where you're like sort of embarrassed for him, but you're glad. It's like watching someone in theater, your high school theater, like go a little bit overboard, but you're like, I'm really like, happy for you.
You're crushing it, but like maybe pull it back.
Exactly. That's how it felt. And I really enjoyed it. So I just can't recommend enough. And then just any of you who have seen it, and if you're feeling like you just need to hear more about it, I cannot recommend more. There's a podcast called Be There in Five. Kate Kennedy is the host. She did like an hour and a half. She basically just talked about it and she's very eloquent and very good with her words. And I feel like she said everything that I tried to just say now, but I didn't say.
Well, I think you said it really well.
Go see it.
I will go see it. Also, I remember my friend, like, I didn't have Barbies. My sisters did, but my mom sold them all by the time like I was ready to like play with them.
Interesting.
But my friend had them. And so I had a dollhouse and she had Barbies. So we played Barbies at her house and dollhouse at my house. And it, like, dollhouse was similar to Barbies in the way of like, I miss imaginative play.
Yes.
Like play that kids do that we lose as adults of like these storylines. I mean, we would have Barbie storylines that were so fucking epic.
Yes. Right. Like you built entire backstories for them.
Yes. These like in beautiful worlds.
And there was no judgment about what you were doing. Like
no.
You weren't self-conscious about it.
No. And then like similar with Dollhouse, like we would set it up in the basement and we would like pick pieces and then we would play, we would have like plot lines where she would spend the night in the summer, she would call and we would play from like 7 a.m. to like 10 p.m. and go to bed and wake up again. We'd only come upstairs for snacks because we had an epic storyline to like play out.
Right. And I'm like trying to remember how we did that. And I feel like it wasn't like, at least when I think I played, it wasn't like me talking in first person as the Barbie. It was like, okay, and then she's gonna like,
I
can't remember which way I went.
Oh, we very much were like, we were talking as like the characters.
And did you, I feel like I'd be like, I am this Barbie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And which is really weird because we always, always would be single moms, like in all of our plot lines. And I do, that's really interesting.
Well, Ken's because, like an afterthought.
Well, in our Dollhouse too, which is so interesting because we didn't, both of us came from homes where both our parents were still married.
Yeah.
So, and like a lot of my friends growing up, like didn't come from divorced families. Yeah. So
weird.
I don't know.
It's maybe like you couldn't see yourself in
as
that.
Like being, I don't know. It like I've thought about that in my entire life of like
why
that was, and maybe it was because we weren't interested in like playing boy characters.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. I would have to think it must be something with how you identify, and as, like you can't put yourself in those shoes. If
well, and then I wonder too, like you know, because I'm not saying because I the way I was just talking about it was like very heteronormative, right? Like. A boy and a girl partnered together. I understand that that is not life.
How
and
fun like, for I'm, kids get to play it now.
I know, but like that was not in our
repertoire. No, we grew up Catholic.
Yeah, it was not okay.
Yeah.
So I want people to know that I'm not saying, I just want to be careful that I understand that that is not the real
only,
life
yeah,
in the
exactly.
only way, but like that it was just like the play was so, I can't express the feeling. Oh, it's like in that Toy Story movie, I think. Don't they talk about or something? There's a meme about like you don't realize the last time
you set your toys down.
Yeah, like you play with the toys like the last time.
Yeah.
But there's like a specific loss in when like moving like into because we okay.
You're wondering why I cried? Here we go.
We played Dollhouse into like our adolescence, like moving into high school. Uh-huh. And then we realized like it wasn't okay anymore. And there was this last day where we like picked all our pieces and we set everything up. I think we were like freshmen in high school. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at each other and we went, oh my God, what are we doing? And we threw it all back into like a bin because like we knew it wasn't acceptable to be like playing pretend anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes me want to cry.
I sobbed through the movie.
And like you, it's such a loss.
And being a human, an adult. Okay, so like they talk about this in the movie, like change is really hard. Change is, I think, the hardest thing in life. And like all being a human is constant change.
Oh,
and like
God.
That. Right. And so another point that they made, that the podcaster made. So I want to say this isn't my phrase. And I'm speaking of very specifically like certain, I'm talking very like black and white boy, girl, which I know is not the real world. I'm just talking about like how I grew up
mm-hmm.
and like you think about things that like stereotypically a little boy would like, you know, like sports, video games,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. A lot of boys, as they get older, they are allowed to still do those things,
mm-hmm.
sports, video games.
And I'm not allowed to collect my American Girl
right.
dolls.
And like there's something about there's certain things that are considered like a little girl's things that it's like you have to grow out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, I feel like it happened because it was uncool and not because we wanted to stop.
Yeah.
It was like this image thing. And also too, it was really interesting to think about how like, Like Barbie, the character Barbie that was made by this woman, named it after her daughter. Barbie had made it to, like, there was like a space Barbie who went to the moon before women could have credit cards. Like the things that Barbie was doing.
Oh yeah.
Was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And like, before Barbie, most girls played with dolls, which is them playing the role of mother. Mm-hmm. But with Barbie, Barbie was an adult. Mm-hmm. And she could have adventures
and go do things.
Yeah.
And relationships and have friends and like.
Yes. And yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It was really good. I hope it's okay if you don't like it, but I hope you do.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't even seen it and I'm feeling things.
Great Billie Eilish song in it too. It's really, really emotional.
Really feeling things. Yeah, you couldn't like play with dolls and stuff anymore because like you would be that girl at school like, oh my God, I went over to so-and-so's house.
Her dolls were still in her room.
She still had dolls in her room.
I know.
And then they had to get shoved into the basement. These American Girl dolls that our parents spent hundreds of dollars on.
My mom has mine all packed nice. I asked her if she still has my Barbies and she said she did.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my mom sold, like, we had so many. I remember we had a McDonald's.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend that had that. With a
little apple pie. Yeah. Yes. Some of the Barbie small, like, little things.
I can taste it in my mouth.
Like, made their way into my dollhouse stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's
but so I have all of my dollhouse stuff because, like, that was kind of the thing that I did. And all of – it's cute. My nieces and nephews play with that now. Mm. And so someday, maybe if we have kids, that will become
– yeah.
Mine, but it's at Mimi and Poppy's and they always bring it upstairs. And it's very different how my nephews play with the dollhouse compared to how my nieces, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Because they both do.
When I would go to my grandma's house, my mom's Barbies were there.
Oh my God. My friend had her mom's Barbie and like, we had to be very particular careful how we played
with
it.
They had these weird, like groovy looking, like it was like a box that came in, but it would unfold.
It's a house?
Yes. And it was like a room and it was very 70s looking. Uh-huh.
She had that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just like, my TikTok is all these like old Barbies and like, remember Glitter Hair Barbie where she had a brush and it would have gel in it that would like put glitter hair.
Do you also remember getting in trouble for cutting your Barbie's hair?
I never got in trouble for that.
Well, I didn't really have Barbies, but like at my friend's house.
I don't know that I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have cut your Barbie's hair.
I don't think I would have because like even I had a friend who had one of the American Girl dolls, Felicity, and like, or one of them, and took out her braids. And I was like, well, you've ruined her now. You know, like you can never get it back. It like, it doesn't go back. But I saw a TikTok of someone redoing Barbie's hair. And when they had it in curlers, like they wrapped it around a pencil, they put her in boiling water. And then took it out. And then when it dried, they took it out. So I think because the hair is plastic, it like set it.
Well, that's wild.
I know, because I never knew how to fix Barbie's hair.
Did you, what about, wasn't American Girl doll's hair like horse hair? Because you had to like brush it with a certain brush.
Yeah, which I feel like that was a marketing ploy. It was just a rubber, it was like a wet brush.
What type of
hair? Remember you'd send your doll in and really what they do is replace her head?
Yeah. Wait, this is not what I want. It says most dolls have silky straight hair. Okay. What kind of hair?
What is the hair material?
Yeah, that's a good idea. What?
Did you have an American Girl doll?
Dude, I had four American Girl
dolls. Which ones did you have?
I had Josefina.
Jealous. I wanted her so bad.
Wait, Maud acrylic fibers. Yes. Why were we told it was horse hair?
I don't know.
That's crazy. The hair is not human. Thanks.
Thank God.
Okay, I had a Girl Today doll.
Did she look like you?
She looked like
me. She probably was the same as me. Blue eyes, blonde hair. Bangs, though, which I didn't have.
I don't know if mine had bangs.
They only had bangs for like fucking 10 years.
Okay. My first one was Samantha.
Oh, yeah. She's a little rich bitch.
Yeah, I got Samantha. And then my sister had Felicity.
Oh, she had those wispy curls.
Yeah. And then I think Josefina was my second one. And then I got a Girl Today doll. And then I got Kit.
I have Kit too. Kit was the last one. I bought it for myself in eighth grade.
Oh, right. And you felt like, ooh, bad choice.
I felt like I was too old. But her hair was so cool.
Yeah.
She had a bob.
Yeah. And then I had...
My American...
I feel like my sister had Molly also.
Did you name your American Girl doll today? Because I didn't. Her name was Emily.
I don't remember. I really don't. Playing American Girl dolls was hard. Like, it was different. They were too big, but they were too small. Like
I had the outfit I don't know. I'm assuming your American Girl doll today came in the same outfit mine did. It was like the striped turtleneck with the felt.
With the felt. Like,
yeah, I had that outfit. Like I had the matching one.
Yeah.
So cool. I remember that Christmas so distinctly.
Dude, I remember like buying clothes. They were like knockoff American
and
Girl
clothes. And at craft
shows? Yeah.
My mom would get me ones at craft shows.
Oh, it was so cool. And those shoes, like little shoes.
I always wanted the bed. I never had the bed.
Oh, I did have a bed, but it was like a knockoff bed,
Mama
right?
Coconut,
it wasn't
the dog.
Yeah, like you would go through the magazine, and mm-hmm. they would be like really expensive, right? And they'd have like these little scenes set up, and then my mom would find like an art fair or like a knockoff, and then I'd get like that bed,
right?
Or I got like a little like, but sometimes you would get like a specific. I think I had the little dog,
Coconut, the little white one. I also need to find. In
Where
the backpack.
Are those?
So I had the school set. Like
I
the
had
backpack,
the school set.
The purple backpack. It had a notebook and a tiny pencil. And I journaled in it as if I was Emily.
Yeah.
But I believe her crushes were people in my real world.
Oh, yeah. You got to find that.
I mean, I can almost picture exactly what it says. I had the cast and crutches, which was like so fucking cool.
It's super cool.
Why was being injured cool?
I don't
know. Were you like popular if you had a cast? I feel like because people would sign your cast.
Yeah, I think you just maybe got a bit of attention.
Yeah. I told you that my friend and I once jumped off a big snowdrift and tried to break our arms.
That's insane. That's insane.
Did
you succeed?
No.
Oh.
It's kind of like why, like, you know, but we just, I don't know why.
Because it was cool. There was a time where like people were getting like blue casts and you were like, that's pretty cool.
In gymnastics, when I...
And they got, like, help at school or they, like, didn't have to do homework.
Right.
Or,
In gymnastics, I, like, kind of landed weird on my ankle once and I totally milked it. I was like, I think I've sprained my ankle.
Yeah.
Because having an injury of, like, sorry, I was in gymnastics.
Yeah, it was cool.
But, yeah, I think actually hurting yourself was probably so horrible as a kid.
Oh, I'm sure it was awful.
I wanted a fake injury.
You couldn't, like, participate in things.
Right.
Did you have a Lee Middleton doll? I feel like we've talked about this on here. They were, like... weirdly real life babies.
Remember the doll that pooped?
Fed
it this weird stuff. Yeah. And it would pee and poop, which is disgusting.
Okay. This is going to horrify you.
Why were they making us change diapers when we were mere children ourselves?
I don't. Oh my God. They exist. They were super expensive.
Your cord.
I will be.
Oh, I had one like that or something like that. Remember when we had to carry babies around in school?
Yes.
I believe. Mine looked kind of like that.
Yeah. And they were like the weight of a baby.
They were heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have to do the baby thing?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that still exists?
Actually, no, I didn't. I was in the first semester because that was home ec class. And then we were supposed to get babies that were like cried and stuff, but they hadn't like figured it out. And so we didn't end up actually having to do the like baby
thing. We had to do the like you set an alarm and you have to call your teacher and leave a voicemail at a certain time to prove that you woke up with a crying baby.
What time?
It was like middle of the night, which LOL.
That's insane.
I wasn't using an alarm. It was high school, but I wasn't using an alarm clock. My mom for sure had
to wake me up. Took home ec in middle school.
I'm talking about the high school version. It was definitely high school, the baby thing.
What class was that for?
It was home ec.
We didn't have home ec. No, that was in middle school. That was eighth grade.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yeah. You cook like an omelet.
We
that class
pie.
Was weird.
We
also watched Mrs. Doubtfire.
We learned how to sew also.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We didn't in our class. We like.
I did the baby thing though.
Yeah. Other people did in my grade. But like when I got into it, because I was in like, do you remember? Oh God. What were those things called? Oh, you had like modules.
Computer lab.
Yeah. But
like
it was,
you could fly an airplane.
Tech lab,
you could fly an airplane was one of them.
Dude,
you could make paper.
Dude, you could make paper. You could, like, there was a photography one with, like, a digital camera.
You would pick what your
There was
focus
a robotics
is.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, I did the robotics one.
Was there a 3D? No, there wasn't a 3D printer.
There was a robotics one. My friend Susan and I were in it together, and we, like, coded it wrong. And
right,
it was
you had a partner.
It just kept hitting the wall, and we were like, what do we do? Oh, man.
Everyone fought over the airplane one, like, learning to be a pilot.
Or you could make, like, a race car. With a little
like a box car.
Yeah.
I think I for sure did the making paper one.
Yeah. I always tried to choose
a partner.
Yeah. I always tried to choose the really easy ones.
Yeah. Dude, that was a cool class though. RIP, that teacher died. The one at Lakeshore Middle School.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tech lab.
Tech Lab.
And they were like these weird modules.
Right. You'd have it for like a couple weeks.
Yeah. And you like would go on these computers and they would have these things that you would have to accomplish each day.
Uh-huh.
And they would be about different things. And like, yeah, one of them was like programming a robot arm to like pick up like.
I for sure didn't do those ones. That seemed way
too hard. Well, I didn't want to be in those ones, but I got shoved into them. And like people were like, I'm in the photography one with this huge digital camera.
I did the photography one.
I was like, fuck you.
Is that what started my career?
Yeah. I'm dealing with a robot over here.
And
I could have been you could have been AI.
You could have been.
God, I missed
a you really missed chance that. There. It was just wild growing up in the 90s.
Yeah, I miss it.
I saw a clip of a like Donkey Kong from Nintendo.
DK.
Not that one. Not N64. From Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
And it's an underwater level, and he's like riding a swordfish.
Uh-huh.
And I like had forgotten that that existed, and I was like, wow, I can remember playing that.
It's weird when things like that come back.
Like, I'm glad that we live in an era where we are being reminded of those things. Where I feel like our parents. The internet like it existed now didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So like we can look up old commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they have, you know, my mom, which she's probably listening to this. I just remember her telling me about like one of the shows she watched, which was HR Puffin Stuff. It was clearly about drugs. It was like HR Puffin Stuff, where you go when things get rough. And there was a magical singing flute, AKA a joint.
Like, oh, yeah.
And like they just went to this weird magical place. There was like a seaweed monster one too. And I remember she thought to show them to me and we were like, this is horrifying.
That sounds really familiar.
I'll show you the seaweed one after
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Sigmund the Seaweed or something it's called.
I wonder if I've seen it or like a clip of it.
Yeah. Maybe. You know what? We've been doing this 5 years. It's possible we've had this exact conversation.
My mom will always talk about like there was a point in TV that cracks me up where nothing was on. Like it's just like TV stopped televising.
If only we could get there now.
Yeah, I know. Like, just, it's wild.
I'll never be able to watch it all.
No. Well, you might with the writer's strike.
That's true.
Full circle of this episode.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Well.
We have a Zoom call tonight.
Yeah, so we got to get going to that.
Also, remember how Brie had a big emotional episode about her anniversary? Mine's tomorrow. We're going out to dinner. We probably won't even talk about our marriage. But we do love each other.
It's really nice.
8 years.
8 years. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well.
John looks like the Unabomber right now.
Why?
Well, he looks like he's in disguise.
Yeah, he kind of does look like the Unabomber right now.
Well, he just peeked out, didn't smile, and then turned away. And I was like, am I not supposed to see you?
Oh, he's watching Abby.
Yeah, he's going somewhere. So, all right. Thanks for listening. Sorry this was such a random one, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah, we're not sorry.
No.
Sorry, not sorry. Time of death is 1746.